Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one, of course, is the Royals. Game 3, ALDS, Kauffman Stadium tonight. First playoff game in Kansas City since 2015, over 3,200
game two of the World Series
days ago. It was Game 2 against the Mets in the World Series. Gates open at 3:30 this afternoon. Royals are telling people, hey, get in your seat by 5:40 for some of the pregame festivities. Vern's On Deck show is at 5. And, of course, first pitch here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. That's at 6:08 with Seth Lugo getting the nod.
Gates at 3:30. Boy, by the time we get out there, people are going to be pouring into Kauffman Stadium.
Beautiful.
Love it. Next up on What's Trending, Nico Collins was placed on injured reserve today by the Houston Texans. Nico currently leads the NFL in receiving yardage, so that's a pretty big loss for them. He went from day-to-day, according to D'Amico Ryans, to week-to-week, to according to D'Amico Ryans, to out for at least 4 weeks in the span of about 12 hours over there in Houston. So he'll miss at least the next four games with a hamstring injury. Could be longer, obviously, but that's a big loss for the Houston Texans. I haven't looked at their schedule, but losing the NFL's leading wide receiver feels like maybe not a small deal.
Yeah, definitely going to make things a little more challenging for C.J. Stroud.
So this many is injuries this year.
Always
is it
the
more
reminder.
Than normal?
It feels like bigger names.
I don't know, man.
It feels like bigger names, but also this is for what the Texans are going through is a reminder and why it's so impressive what the Chiefs have done during this run in their dynasty. Is like it is really hard to have everybody stay healthy consistently for multiple years and overcome that. The Chiefs have done that for a few of these years. They're facing another challenge this year. The Texans are going to have to see, can they overcome that? Massive expectations, but now they have an injury. Last year, Tank Dell got hurt. They overcame that and won a playoff game.
Yeah.
Nico Collins, though, is a huge part of that offense.
I just wonder, like, if you'd put any other team in the situation, they had to play the same five schedules, but the Texans were without Nico Collins for all five of those games. Oh, and also they're starting running back for all five of those games. Oh, and also Tank Dell or their number two wide receiver. You know, like, would they be 3-1, 4-1, though? Probably not.
Texans have the Patriots, Packers, Colts, Jets next four. Not that
okay.
Terrible.
Well, that's
not that tough. But.
Not that bad. Colts defense is just horrendous. Next up on what's trending elsewhere in Major League Baseball, National League Divisional Series last night. How about the Padres and Dodgers game?
It was just How did the run stop after that? A grand slam to make it a one-run game, and then there was just never another run?
Yeah, it was incredible to watch the energy in that ballpark. And so here's where things set up elsewhere in baseball. We already know what the Royals here. We got four games today. All right. Four games. First one is coming up around 2:00. That's the Guardians and Tigers series, also knotted up at a game apiece. That one in Detroit. I think it's their first playoff game at home in 10 years. So kind of similar to the Royals in that regard. Then Phillies and the Mets, 4:00 or so this afternoon. The late game tonight will be the Dodgers and Padres. So the Royals second to last game of the evening.
We'll get a couple of results before the Royals. Obviously, we're interested in what takes place in game three of Cleveland and Detroit. Is if the Royals went on to win this series, they would have a chance to host ALCS Game 1 if for some reason it was the Tigers that went through. Next up on What's Trending, Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers have now made statements on the saga of firing Robert Saleh. Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show, said that he resents anyone suggesting any of the reporting that says he was the reason behind Saleh being fired. There's multiple reports that suggest that Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers spoke at some time after the Nathaniel Hackett rumors started to circle that Robert Saleh might have either been taking him off of his duties or just getting rid of him altogether. Woody Johnson says the decision was his and his alone over there in New York. Anyone buying?
No.
Anyone buying? Anyone buyers? Anybody? No. We all think that Aaron Rodgers played some part in this?
Had to have. Directly, I think, but obviously indirect, at the very least indirectly, just by, I mean, it's pretty clear.
But I gotta be honest, I think directly. Aaron Rodgers also lied before. Like, he's been caught lying
before. He has?
Yes, he's been caught lying before.
I can't recall that ever happening.
Anytime you're getting paid that much, I feel like you are part of the decision as the quarterback anyways, but yeah, it's definitely Aaron was probably, get this guy out of here.
Give me a phone record. Prove to me via phone record you didn't talk to each other. Then I'll buy it.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. In 20 minutes, we check in with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, get his perspective on playoff baseball being back in Kansas City. He's got his On Deck show at 5:00 out at Kauffman, and cannot wait to listen to that. For those of you, maybe you're driving into the stadium, you're tailgating in the parking lot, 96.5 The Fan. Of course, you're home for Kansas City sports. So thinking of that, I mentioned Joel Goldberg tweeted out 3,268 days since that last playoff game. And you're right, it was game two of the World Series against the New York Mets. We all know that how that series went.
You were... yes.
I was in Topeka. I was working in Topeka. It was my second job out of college.
24? Were you living at your parents' house?
No, I was living in Topeka.
Living in Topeka. Had a dope downtown loft in Topeka.
Has anybody ever uttered those words?
Somebody off here is from Topeka. I'm fine. Not trying to trash the whole city.
I told you, I actually, from a job perspective, I actually really did enjoy my time in Topeka from a work perspective. The city, you know, there was a few things, but anyway.
Didn't love the city.
Careful. Well, it was way better than Wichita. I've told you about that.
Yeah, so. You hated Wichita, so. Yeah. Was it better than Houston?
Again, personal experience. I got robbed in Houston at gunpoint.
Yeah,
so,
but Houston probably has more stuff.
But
to
Houston,
do.
I from things to do, and the food scene was terrific.
It might have more. It does. It might. Houston's like the fourth biggest city in the state. In the
yeah, US, it's
it?
Mass traffic was terrible and everything down there.
I mean, 9 years ago, I was barely over 30. That was a different lifetime ago. I was like,
time flies,
I was 31
man.
31 years old. I had no kids. The last time I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. Last time the Royals played a game at Kauffman Stadium, I didn't have a kid. My wife might not even have been pregnant.
Yeah,
it's probably close.
All the back then, man, all the kids
actually,
were getting
actually, now that I'm backtracking the number here, she might have just been getting pregnant about time. This whole playoff Royals game must have been good luck for me.
Was your, you didn't name your,
hold on,
but you
what's
didn't,
9 months after today? Can somebody do the quick math for me?
You did
That's
not.
That's like July. My daughter was born in June. Pretty close on that timing.
Well, there were stories. There were a lot of
Royals babies.
Royals babies. Yeah, I mean,
I was in that trend. That happens. Sure.
I also think, at that time, we remember everybody's getting the Haas cut. right now we're talking about Mahomes or Bobby Wood Jr. haircuts, and the kids are getting the Bobby Wood Jr. like mullet. But back then it was the Haas. Yep. That was the every TV station was doing stories on how popular the Haas cut was and all. That was the whole thing, man, in 2014 and 15.
If the Royals win the World Series this year, will you get the Haas?
That wouldn't make any sense. Yeah, that makes no sense.
Honestly, your hair's not long enough to get the Bobby. You need much longer hair.
It's time to get
a
haircut.
If I remember right, when she was dyeing my hair, we asked her what a popular haircut. She said every kid wants.
Sure,
they want a mullet. They want.
Of course.
They want the bobby cut.
Yeah, and there will be, depending on how this playoff run goes, there will be kids that are named after some of these Royals players. It happens. I mean.
Hell, Ben Zobrist named his own kid after the Royals.
I remember that.
He gave his kid the middle name Royal.
I hope he's doing well.
Haven't heard from Ben Zobrist.
Yeah, I hope he's doing all right.
Yeah. Glad he was a playoff hero, man.
For sure.
Bit rocky for him after that, but.
That's what I mean. That's what I said. Yeah. I hope things are going good for him.
I hope so, too.
Talk about where we're at, though, with this game tonight and just everything on the line, of course. This is a series that's evened up, but the Royals are in the driver's seat. It doesn't guarantee them a win or anything, but you split in New York. That was the goal, really, for I think a lot of people. Find a way to split, come back to the K. You get two home games. If everything went well today, you could be in position to clinch on your home turf tomorrow out at Kauffman. That's the dream scenario, and that's in position because of what they did on Monday night. And you mentioned just historically with where we're at and how young you were, and we all were 10 years ago. Salvador Perez, some of those photos circulating of a young, skinny Salvador Perez from 2014 and 15, and the photo of him and Alcides Escobar with Michael Garcia, who was like, I don't know, 10.
Yeah.
Or I guess he would have been like 12 probably at that time.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he looks every bit of like 7 in the photo. I just think that the Royals are in control of this series. And what I want to see tonight is them maintain that control. There are 3 games left in this series. So this is right back to the wild card series. There's a 3-game series now. Erase what happened before. I don't care what Bobby Wood Jr. did before. I don't care that Cole Reagans didn't go deep. It's a 3-game series, and 2 of those games are at Kauffman Stadium, where the Royals were one of the best home teams in baseball this year, where offensively they have been significantly better this season. Bobby Wood Jr.'s been better. Vinny Pasquantino's been better. Salvador Perez. They've all been better hitters at Kauffman Stadium. Now the pitchers have been a little bit worse. Lugo tonight actually has an ERA about a full run north of where they were on that end. But they have been a better team at home, and they have control of the series. And honestly, if you go back and listen to that Jazz Chisholm clip, who I assume is going to be heavily booed.
Boo Jazz. Tonight. Raz Jazz. Jazz's ass.
We don't care which hashtag you use, honestly, but boo him. You know, boo his ass. But when you look at what he said, I think that's because they were rattled. I think he said it because he's like, oh, we're fine. I'm fine. You've had a buddy in your group who'd be like, hey, man, you okay? I'm good. That might have been Drew like 2 weeks ago when we were talking Bengals. I'm fine. Like, people just get louder or more intense.
Over,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a tough week. Mm-hmm. But, like, people just get louder and more intense, and you're like, you don't sound fine. You actually sound like you sound like you're on the edge. That's how I take Jazz Chisholm's comments, don't you? They know that they've lost control of this series.
I do think, I will say this about Jazz Chisholm. He's a very confident individual, and he's always not afraid to go out there and talk. Part of that is his personality. But we said it, you know, why give Royals fans in particular, I don't think the team is going to take much about Jazz's lucky comment as much as fans will. I think the team took the Carlos Rodon, you know, sticking his tongue out. That clearly, that kind of stuff was more of what they took. Cole Reagan staring down Soto because Soto stares down everybody.
Why can't it be the other way?
That kind of stuff is what the team leans in on. I don't think Jazz Chisholm's 1 second at the end of a post-game press conference or setting saying the Royals got lucky is something the team necessarily will feed off of as much as that's what the K is going to feed off of tonight. The Royals fans out there this evening will always remember that and are well aware of that comment. Hell, I would argue that the video crew, Crown Vision crew, I should say, should put up either a graphic or play that end of the clip or something before the game. Just for
as
the
a
fans
reminder.
To get all fired up and a reminder. You can do everything. I mean, we know how pregame probably is going, right? They're going to show Patrick Mahomes on the video board this evening. He's going to fire the crowd up. They're probably going to maybe hopefully place a quote or something from Jazz Chisholm. They'll show Salvi sticking his tongue out after Rodon was sticking his
tongue
out.
They'll show a highlight of the last
time
this team was at the K.
And the crowd is going to get amped, and it's going to be incredible tonight out at Kauffman Stadium.
That's it. I mean, the atmosphere is second to none. I haven't been to a lot of playoff games in other cities, admittedly. I've watched plenty on television over the time. I've been to a lot of Chiefs playoff games. Some of this might just be because of what 14 was. And you and I talked about this. The very beginning of this postseason run, I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it in the city the same way I felt it in 14 and 15. That first three-game wild card series, I wasn't sure. Oh, I feel it now. Everywhere you go, Royals gear, everyone talking Royals, everybody ready to go to the Royals game. Maybe it wasn't there in the early stages, but it's here now. They're knotted up at one game apiece, and two games are about to be back-to-back days at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. But I do think that they have control of the series. I think they took control of the series by getting that win, because you and I both knew what is still true, which is getting a split in New York was a massive win. It's a huge win for the Royals. Either way, some team was going to have to win two of the next three.
Yep.
But now you're at home. The pitching is better for you, because the next three starters the Royals throw out there are Lugo versus Schmidt, advantage Royals. Walker versus Cole, okay, still advantage Yankees like it was before. And then you get Reagans in game five, if needed, if the Royals can't do it. What I want to see, I'm so desperate for a win tonight. I just want Bobby Wood Jr. to hit a home run. The K go crazy.
It doesn't even have to be a home
run,
man.
The Royals win with a chance to clinch a spot in the ALCS tomorrow. Please. Please, that's what I need it. Like, I need air to breathe, if we're being honest.
It doesn't even have to be a home run, man. I think after going 0 for 10 to start this series, Bobby Wood Jr. is coming through tonight in some form or fashion. I don't know if it's a home run, Cody. I don't know if it's just a game-winning RBI double. Something special. And that's what's cool. You know, we played highlights to start the show today from a mix of the current series, but also that game two of the World Series in 2015. And I love playing highlights from 14 and 15. Those are fun. Those are memories that we will have forever, right? But you know what? Like, I'm kind of at the same time sick of having to only play 14 and 15 highlights. I want to be able to, next year, be talking about the playoff game in 2024. I want to be talking about Bobby Wood Jr.'s big hit at Kauffman Stadium. I want to be talking about Lucas Urseg getting out of a jam because they brought him in the eighth inning and they needed some help, and he gets a five out save if necessary, whatever it may be. Even like I want to be talking about those moments where the crowd goes crazy, in that we don't have to only look back 10 years ago.
Yes, I mean, again, that's the whole point. I want a Bobby Wood Jr. homer to be alongside Alex Gordon tying it off of Juris Familia in the ninth inning. We already have some of those, right? Like, we're going to remember some of these plays as we kind of go through this thing, but they only build up, right? We still remember Bautista throwing to second and Kane coming around, but we remember even more Hosmer's mad dash home in order to score it. So some of these early memories are starting to build up a little bit, right? Salvador Perez sticking his tongue out in Carlos Rodon will be a memory I that sticks with me from this playoff run, no matter how long it goes. I will remember that moment as him being sticking it to them, at least for a moment. But you know this, and we've learned this a lot from the Chiefs, which is the moments seem to fade quicker if you don't make a deep run. We remember the 13-second game and Patrick Mahomes going Grim Reaper, but we don't talk about it the same way as we talk about Jet Chip Wasp or the plays that ended in the glory. So, like, I just want,
of course,
I want more of those moments so that I can appreciate them in time.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll check in with Josh Fernier. He obviously was there at 14 and 15. We'll get his perspective on what Kauffman is going to be like this evening. And what does he make of Clark Schmidt? I mean, that's a name that I had never said before out loud until today, basically. But he's pitching for the Yankees. And in a small sample size, 90 innings or so, he's actually been really, really good. Are we in for a pitcher's duel tonight? We'll talk to Vern more about what the Royals might be looking at this evening. But let's briefly get to all 32. And here's the thing. I haven't mentioned it in a couple weeks, guys. I was like, you know what? I will honor your guys' wishes, and I'll wait. You know, during preseason, I was pretty passionate about the kickoff rule, and I felt like it was still a waste of time and that it wasn't going to change much. And I said, all right, let's wait. Let's wait.
I told you I'd wait till the first week. I told you this week.
Exactly. We're 5 weeks in. Mm-hmm. We're 5 weeks in. Can we just be honest? It really hasn't changed anything, guys. It just hasn't done anything.
Looks a little different.
It definitely looks weird, okay? That's what it looks like. It looks weird. Dynamic kickoff through 4 weeks. These are four-week numbers. The league-wide rate of returning kickoff is 29%. Now, if you're getting really specific, you're like, well, that's an increase, sure, from 17%. 29% is still not what they were hoping. It's still the third lowest return rate since 2000. It has not worked. More than two-thirds of kickoffs have gone for touchbacks. As we discussed, coaches are going to say, hey, why would I even risk the opportunity? Let them have the ball at the 30. Why even let them have a big return? And that's what coaches have decided to do. And I think unless the NFL in the offseason decides to make the touchback a 35 or 40 yard penalty, have it at the 35 or 40, then this is going to continue. So dynamic kickoff, there is nothing dynamic about it. Kind of predicted this was going to happen. They didn't go far enough with it, and it's a waste of time still.
So I'd like to think that there's some difference, but that's the only thing. Either get rid of kickoff altogether, put the ball at the 30-yard line, and let's save ourselves some time in our life where kickoffs just no longer exist, or punish it so bad that they don't have a choice but to force the action. Those are the only two remaining options. I'm going to go on the Jets side. Not with Aaron Rodgers at the moment, but instead with the continued desperation of a loser franchise who's never won anything. Did you see the most recent plea? Woody Johnson yesterday, after all this stuff happened, Saleh gets fired. Everyone feels like it's Aaron Rodgers who's doing it. They're 2-3. They're playing for first place. They're desperate. Their quarterback's a million years old. And Woody Johnson is now officially taken to begging Hassan Reddick to end his holdout. Like, dude, please, I'm begging you. Please get back on the field. We need one more good player on this team in order to make it do it. I think it's because he knows he's trading for Davante Adams, and he had to do it. I got a real quick suggestion for Woody Johnson. Pay him. You could have just paid him. Nobody knew it was a mystery that when Hassan Reddick got traded, he didn't and was going to hold out from the team that he was on because he wanted a contract extension. This was not unknown to the Jets. This was not a mystery to the Jets. Maybe they got sticker shock, but that's why a lot of teams don't work out these trades until they got a contract deal in place with the player.
Yeah, at least agreed in principle.
The Jets begging Hassan Reddick to just show up now week six later. Okay, like I still think he'll show up at some point because otherwise he just loses a year of control.
How much was it costing him to a game?
Oh, it's cost him a ton. And he's got about two more weeks, I think, to show up before he doesn't get the accrued year. He's still going to want to be a free agent and be a good player, but he's not going to just show up now because Woody Johnson asks him nicely.
No, yeah, I'm with that. Joe Flacco, guys, his name keeps on coming up because he's backing up the right teams, apparently, who either have injuries or whatever the case is at quarterback, and he comes in and saves the day. He's got 5 touchdowns, no picks. He's averaging the 8th most passing yards a game in the games that he's played in. Is he a top 15 quarterback? I feel like he is. I don't know if we can say that.
He's better than about 10 starters in the league.
He's absolutely as good as a starting quarterback.
15 is too high.
Top 15.
He's a better starter, right? Like, if you just said, we have to win today, a game today. He's better than the guy. He's better than the guy he's backing up. Like, if you just had to win a game today, he's better than Anthony Richardson. I'd still go Richardson long term.
Is he better than Trevor Lawrence?
Maybe. Yeah.
Is he better than Derek Carr?
I'd probably give Carr the edge there, but barely. He's better than
Joe Flacco's not the 15th best quarterback.
Watson. He's better than
I don't know who's skating around 15 right now, if you would say, but
yeah, 15th's probably a little high, but he's better than a lot of starters.
He's been good. I know the Colts haven't won because the defense stinks.
Yeah, that defense is 32nd in the NFL. Like, they are as bad as it gets.
The worst franchise.
Yeah, a lot of injuries, but it happens. Everybody has injuries right now.
Yeah, which team doesn't? The Chiefs are without their number one and number two wide receiver.
You know who doesn't? Sorry,
Cincinnati.
Drew. You know who doesn't? Huh? Cincinnati.
That's kind of embarrassing.
That's who's actually healthy.
What the hell's going on?
Hang on.
They're healthy.
They got their starting running back, their starting wide receivers, their quarterback's playing. Like, what the hell's their deal?
Well, the defense stinks, and they're dealing with defensive injuries. Like Dax Torres ACL. Mike Hilton's been out. The defensive line
fair
is.
Enough. Okay. Nobody cares about those. We only pay attention to the offense.
That is all 32 in the NFL. Up next, it's time to get right back into the Royals here on a Playoff Baseball Wednesday in Kansas City. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, tells us what to expect from the Yankee side of things a little bit here with this Royals lineup right here on 96.5.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. A couple things during the break. Eric Hosmer just put out a video through his media company. He's throwing out the first pitch tonight. We were guessing that he was one of the guesses. Makes a lot of sense. We know he's in KC, so that'll be a really cool moment. Get the crowd fired up. Eric Hosmer throwing out the first pitch tonight. We also saw the lineup is out. Michael Massey leading off. That's the change at the top of the order. Garcia still in the lineup. The one thing that stands out for some will be that Adam Frazier is playing right field to begin the game. But you and I were talking in the break that I guess is by the seventh or eighth inning, most likely he will probably not be still in the lineup. I'm assuming we'll have a pinch hitter at that point in time. Let's talk a little bit more about that with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. His on-deck show gets you all set for game three tonight, 5 o'clock here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. I'll start there, Vern. I mean, the lineup makes a lot of sense if you think about the pitching matchup and also the flexibility that they have later in the game.
Yeah, Adam Frazier saw Clark Schmidt a lot last season playing for Baltimore in the AL East, put up some good numbers, has some recent ABs. And listen, Adam Frazier probably made the defensive highlight of the season for the Royals, one of the best defensive teams in all of baseball, the play of the year, right? Wasn't that Frazier's robbery in right field in Detroit, I believe it was?
Yeah, I think that was. But I mean, look, I think some people look at this and they're like, heat check, right, by Q, where he's been doing it. But I just don't think he wants to change the way he manages a lineup based on that. I think it was you, Vern, who had mentioned a conversation with J.J. Piccolo, and we've heard this from J.J. ourselves, which is, you know, when he got to the organization and Q started doing funky things in the lineup, J.J. was partially like, what the hell are you doing here? And he's like, you know what, actually, it's probably better that people are thinking outside the box, and we're not all starting to think the same way here as a group. We got to look at it differently. Isn't that kind of how you view it? I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
This is who Q's been all season. Yeah. He's played the numbers, the odds, the matchups. That's what he said at his introductory press conference. I understand there are some Royals fans that still haven't recognized that were complaining about MJ Melendez being pinch hit for, and then they were complaining that MJ Melendez wasn't a pinch hit. this is what Q's been doing all season. And you guys hit it on the head. Yeah, Frazier, you know, by the end of the game, yeah, you're hoping that he's replaced in right field with a defensive upgrade. Not that he is bad, but you know, Hunter Renfro's arm, maybe Tommy Pham. We'll see what kind of adjustments are made pertaining to the arms that Aaron Boone brings out late.
There's a lot of things to be excited about and moments that could happen tonight, but I'm still, for me, the aerial shot, for those that are watching on TV or if you're going to be at the game, that opening shot of everybody standing up with their rally towels that they're going to get tonight, and those shots are some of the coolest to kick off a game. What are you expecting tonight out at Kauffman, having been there in 14 and 15?
Yeah, I'm expecting... hopefully a duplication of those scenes. I'm interested to see how many Yankees fans are in the building. If the Yankees, you know, tie the game up or take an early lead, I'll be interested to see how much noise they're making. You know, that moment that you talk about, that aerial shot, normally that is preceded by a big countdown on Crown Vision. You know, you're about to go live to the National. They do it at Chiefs games as well.
Sure.
What I'm excited to see is, you mentioned Eric Hosmer, and he, you know, points to that moment where everyone standing on that first baseline is dealing with butterflies. But what Haas and even Salvi's talked about is when they first came out onto the field in the wild card game, just to stretch, just to get a feel for the atmosphere, it was already a different buzz in the stadium. I can't tell you how many people have asked me over the past... well, year. This is the only time it's been good.
Sure.
But I can't tell you how many people have asked, man, did this game tonight against the Cardinals or Dodgers or Yankees, did this feel like Kauffman Stadium in the postseason? And my answer is always respectfully no, because the buzz in the parking lots just carries into the stadium and it begins. Gates open today at 3:30. That buzz, I want to see it present by 3:45. That gets enough people in the building to carry that. Everyone knows the buzz that happens at the tailgates for every Chiefs game. It's that with a bit more anxiety in the Royals tailgate prior to an October game. And then it's just unbridled joy waiting to be uncorked inside the stadium. So that's what I'm excited for 3:45 to 4 o'clock to feel that buzz that hasn't been here in nearly a decade.
Vern, for the people who watch baseball regionally, which is pretty much 99% of society, is Clark Schmidt any good? I looked at his season numbers from last year. They kind of stunk. 4.5, 5 earned run average roughly. This year he's been quite a bit better in a limited amount of starts. Is Clark Schmidt any good?
He's been good, yeah. I don't know if that necessarily makes me believe that he's going to be good tonight. You know, if he has his command, yeah, he could carve this lineup up because he doesn't throw anything straight. It's cutters and sinkers and sweepers and curveballs. But if he doesn't have his command and the Royals can showcase the patience of a Yuli Gurriel or what we've seen so far this October from Michael Massey, if you can make Clark Schmidt come to you. Now, credit to the Yankees. I think they've been doing a really good job of this as well. You need to give me something to hit. The pressure's on the pitcher. If the Royals can take that approach to the plate, if you don't see Bobby and Vinny, if you don't see them expand the zone, they could have Clark Schmidt out of this game in the fourth inning. But obviously you don't want him to get confidence. I understand Carlos Rodon had confidence in the first inning and didn't work out for him. I think Clark Schmidt hopefully learned a lesson from that goofball back on Monday.
I looked it up, Vern. This year, Clark Schmidt has only gotten into the sixth inning twice. So he typically is a guy who goes a little bit shorter.
Yankees, and they have Luis Gil, who is another nasty right-hander, a guy that I thought actually might get this start coming into the series. They'll be able to rely on him for one, maybe twice through the lineup if needed as well. So, you know, neither team can stick with a guy if he's not showing you the goods the first time through. I wouldn't be surprised to see either manager go to the bullpen by the fourth or the fifth. Let's hope that's not the case for Seth Lugo, but we've seen Matt Quatraro already pulled the ripcord twice on Waka and Lugo.
If he does that earlier...
Waka and Reagans, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Because they have a game tomorrow, Vern, I know the guys can pitch them back-to-back days and they're off on Friday. If he has to go to the bullpen in the fourth, is it a greater likelihood that we would see a name like Singer or Lynch in that case?
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, if not tonight, then likely tomorrow. But again, everyone's available to throw as many pitches as humanly possible. I mean, honestly, you know, Lucas Urseg coming in a big spot in the fifth or sixth inning, right? If Aaron Judge is up there, you know, Urseg didn't see them in on Monday's game. I thought Q did a nice job of letting Bubich get the Soto and Judge at bats. And yeah, they got an opportunity to see Urseg in game one. They got some Bubich in game two. You can come back with the big arm tonight in the biggest spot of the game, wherever it may be.
Our conversations with Vern are brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you, baseball fans. What I know, not just Cody, because he asked you about Singer and Lynch, but what I've heard that from a lot of people, like, when are we going to see them? Why does everybody want to see either of them so bad? It's a good thing if they're not pitching. What are we like? Oh my gosh, we haven't seen Brady Singer. Who cares? I don't need to see Brady Singer this series.
I don't need to see Lucas Urseg. Yeah. Seth Lugo wants to
just
spin
win,
Johnny
sure.
Cueto. Go for it. Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. You know, we at times, you know, Bobby Witt Jr., 0 for 5. Vinny Pasquantino, 0 for 4 with 3 punch-outs back on Monday, and you won the game. Now, I'm not going to say that the Royals need to feel lucky, but you, again, should feel that those guys are primed for a breakout, that Seth Lugo is ready to remind the baseball world what he's done all season, and it might be very much needed if the bullpen or the defense or if, you know, Salvi or the complementary pieces that have been picking the boys up so much in this series, if those guys return to form, well, you're going to need your stars to be stars, and the stars tonight, Bobby, Lugo, Vinny, Salvi, you know the names.
Vern, I had mentioned, I think advanced baseball people have taken away from this stat in general, and honestly, during the regular season, I don't know that it contributes to like win after win after win, but it feels like if you're willing to build your team around the ability to run the bases and then it actually leads to a postseason team, I don't think it's helping them nearly as much in the regular season as it feels like it helps them now. When half of your lineup can run and like two guys in the Yankees lineup can force a bag, it feels like that's a massive advantage. Like even Gurriel has done a really good job running the bases for the Royals. How big of an advantage has that been in this series to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the main reasons why I think this team finished with, 86 victories. Again, we talked about it all summer long, pitching, defense, and team speed. It's what allowed them to have a middle-of-the-road offense for most of the season, to have a bad bullpen, because they respected 90 feet, right? They took that extra 90 feet, and as we've seen throughout the postseason, you're facing good pitching. And if the pitcher you're facing suddenly is no good, well, there's another good pitcher coming out of the bullpen. So when you get on base, you better value that 90 feet. Again, the reason why you lost game one to the Yankees is because Jazz Chisholm got that extra 90 feet and scored on Verdugo's opposite field single. The margin for error is, so very slim in October. How many times, have you heard the old adage, in October, a walk feels like a rally? That's because, a walk never feels like a rally of the regular season, but when everything is so nip and tuck, yeah, it's everything is of the utmost importance. Making the routine plays. I heard you guys talking about it earlier. We remember every round of that 2015 postseason because of a defensive miscue, right? Correa, Bautista, Daniel Murphy, Lucas Duda. It's the little things that ultimately decide who wins it all.
Tighter zone, would you attribute to that? What's going on with the Royals? Or just an inability to throw strikes? They've walked the leadoff batter in like 60% of the innings they've played this postseason.
Yeah, I think that goes back kind of what I was saying that I want to see from the Royals tonight. I think the Yankees have done a really good job of making Royals pitching come to them. And if you're not going to give me something to hit, I'm going to take my walk and... right, I mean, the Yankees were among the best in all of baseball this season in base on balls. So, Royals need to execute better on the mound, and I certainly expect Seth Lugo to be able to, tantalize those Yankees hitters with his 8-9-12 pitch arsenal. The question, again, to me, it's about Clark Schmidt. I have no worries that Seth Lugo will throw strikes. The defense behind him needs to make all the routine plays and a few spectacular plays. Can Clark Schmidt command the zone? That'll likely, in my opinion, be the difference in this game tonight.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, he'll join us again tomorrow on the show, and you can hear him this afternoon, early evening, 5 o'clock, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Thanks, man.
All right, thank you.
There you go. Vern will get you guys set for game three of this series this evening. First pitch, 6:08, but he's on at 5. And must listen to as you're driving home from work today, if you're driving out to Kauffman Stadium.
You're sitting out in the parking lot.
Whatever, man.
Do you think Lugo's going to step up tonight? Because I don't want to see another like, well, he doesn't quite have it, so here comes the bullpen in the fifth. They need a 6-7 inning start
so I don't
out
know
of a starter at some point this postseason.
I don't know if it has
series.
To be 7.
6, though.
But based off it not being an off day tomorrow, and what they have gotten from the bullpen, I still think you're playing a little with fire a little bit with Angel Zerpo, where it's like, hey, so 2 out of his 3 he's delivered. You know, I just think,
do you want to find out if it's
not
4 to 5?
Like, or honestly, at this point, like Seth Lugo, with the way Q's managing it, if he makes it through 5, that's a really good sign. That means they, you know, because I think that the leash is just shorter for Q right now because he feels great about his bullpen. I think, you know, that, which is fine.
Because we talked about going in, we didn't want too short of a leash for the starting pitchers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's been pretty short.
Lugo's a vet, but I mean, all these guys are vets at this point, other than Reagan. So, like, I mean, Lugo and Waka vet, and they are both vets, and they were willing to move on from them pretty quick in the postseason. Aren't you more encouraged if you're Q after what the bullpen just did for you for the other night? That's why I'm like, I think if it's the fifth inning, or at least if it's the sixth, it's, you know, 5 1/3 innings, and all of a sudden there's a, you know, there's nobody out and there's a runner on first and Judge is up next and it's the third time through the order, it wouldn't surprise me if they go right back to the pen again.
That's the biggest challenge, is at what point of the lineup are you in when you're still battling in the fifth? Is it you got a runner on and it's getting ready to be Soto and Judge? Well, then he probably is going to go to the bullpen and risk those guys going up there. But if you keep throwing the same guys, it's not like they haven't seen these guys now. I mean, Soto's gotten plenty of looks at Zerpa.
Mm-hmm.
He's got plenty of looks at a lot of these bullpen arms. That's what Vern said was actually kind of nice about the other day, is they didn't give him a free look at Urseg. They let Bubich handle the order of the lineup the last time. So tonight, it would only be the second time they got a chance to take a look at Urseg, and I like that.
For Lugo, you just cut these walks.
They've
won, you know,
8 people, 2 games in a row, yeah, man.
And
can we have it?
Sets the
4,
tone,
maybe?
It sets the tone of that first inning or so. I mean, can you avoid,
yeah,
frankly, can you avoid a walk if you're Lugo in the first inning? And that'll
first 2 innings, something.
You know, just gives you a much better feel at that point. Pitch count, of course, yes, but just in general. Like, and the Yankees deserve some credit for that, as Vern was saying. I mean, they're being very patient.
But it lost him 1 game.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't cost him game 2, but the 8 walks, that specifically was the single biggest stat that cost him game 1.
Well, it was Zerpa in the 5th inning. In the 5th inning, he couldn't throw a strike. You know, they couldn't get it out, couldn't throw strikes.
Yeah, and if that's, you just can't play that game. You can't, that's playing with fire. Because, yeah, one of the, you know, we can talk about all the time that Aaron Judge has the highest strikeout rate in Major League Baseball postseason history, where he has one of the lowest OPSs for anyone who's played as many postseason games. All those are true. He has still run into 12 homers. So it's not that he's never hit a homer in the postseason. He definitely has. And I don't want to play with fire that the guy you walk in front of Judge the one wrong time is the one that eventually, sure, gets sent into the seats. He hits a homer off you, make sure it's just him on base. Make sure you didn't put two guys on base for free, or at least make him earn it. Make him get on base via single. Make him get on base via double. Make him put themselves on base. Don't just give him free pass. 16 walks in 2 games is nuts. That's way, way,
it is. And yet the series is tied up. A game apiece, and it's back in Kansas City. And the next 2 nights have a chance to even clinch on your own field if you take care of business this evening. That sets that up for tomorrow at Kauffman Stadium. Of course, in the 1 o'clock hour today, we'll get right back into the single biggest decision that allowed the Royals to even get to this point. We'll open up the phones again. Maybe you're heading out to the K early. Want to hear from you guys, 913-586-7965. But in the meantime,
random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. You can, of course, hit us up on our video stream, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, where we'll comment, take a look at those. You can like and subscribe us over there. We live stream the show 4 hours every day, actually 12 hours now, all 3 shows over on the live stream. The question I have for you today is directly related to what you talked about. You said baseball's not a tailgating sport. So the question I have today is, for the people who do tailgate at one, both, don't usually tailgate at baseball games, but this time is, do the menus look different? And if they do, what's different about it? So I want to know, what is different about your tailgating menu than what might exist in a Chiefs game? 913-586-7965. Do you expect different cuisine? Do you prepare different cuisine? Is it just hot dog and hamburgers? What do you think?
Yeah, so I think my guess is, so Chiefs, you're doing, you may want to do get there early enough. You're smoking some ribs. You might be doing some things like that. I think this is a hot dog and brought and
this
burger type of thing.
This is a 45 minute as quick as you can put some food on the grill. Thing.
Yeah, I think it's that's a hot it, dog. Huh? I'm not saying there's not one single person out there listening that's been smoking ribs all day. Of course, there's somebody. I'm saying if you're tailgating majority of people for this game, I'm guessing it's a hot dog burger brought type of thing. What about you, Drew?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's just the aesthetic of having a dog or whatever sort of...
But you can get that inside the building.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
I don't know.
I can technically get a brisket sandwich inside Arrowhead Stadium.
Tino over on Twitch said more elaborate, said hot dog, chips, etc. for baseball. Keep it simple.
I don't know if you wanted to do anything like more, not necessarily exotic, but I don't know, have like...
A slider? We can't get like a buffalo chicken slider or something?
That or like some tacos. I don't know. There are ways.
Tacos?
Oh, yeah.
Are tacos a tailgate food?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so.
I love tacos.
We got great tacos in Kansas City.
I love tacos. I don't know if I consider that a tailgating.
I mean, I would eat a taco if someone had one at a tailgate today.
Text line, I shotgun a lot less beers for Royals games, I can tell you that.
Well, it's less time. That's the other part of it. People get to those Chiefs games. We see that same video every time where James Palmer comes driving up the side near the practice facility. And he's like, 14 hours before the gates open, here's 72 people waiting in line to get inside the building. But it sounds like, for the most part, people are like, no, hot dogs and brats. Hot dogs, brats, hamburgers.
Just conventional.
It's just those things. They say it's barbecue when you're talking about Chiefs. A lot more like ribs or burnt ends or pulled pork chicken, you know, or pulled pork sandwiches, chicken sandwiches. Say they're going more all out, it sounds like, for Chiefs games. Versus in this case, it sounds like most people are fine with just a hot dog or a hamburger.
All right.
I'm surprised.
Somebody on the text line from the 620 says, you have to stop asking Drew to answer these questions.
Why?
Maybe because of the taco comment. But right below that on the text line from the 913, once for a special occasion, we got ground moose meat and made moose tacos for Mike Moustakas.
Is that like eating?
It's tacos.
Yeah, I mean,
it's an exotic choice. If you want to veer left from the traditional tailgate food, I think tacos aren't bad.
There's almost no time I won't eat a taco. Biggest issue with taco as a tailgate food is a taco requires a lot of ingredients. You got to have the shells. The meat,
sure.
The cheese, the lettuce, the tomato, the guacamole, whatever, right? You need 7-8 things to put together a proper, delicious taco. For a burger, you need the meat, buns, and then, you know, yeah, a couple of condiments, but those travel easier, right? Ketchup, mustard, whatever you put on your burger, right? Those things. It does seem like it's a little bit easier. Someone says, yeah, you can get those inside the stadium, but you pay 5 times the amount. I get it.
Yes, for
I'm
sure.
I'm just asking.
Absolutely true.
Someone said Chiefs is liquor and Royals is beers. They even changed the drink choice.
I just think it's a more casual tailgate for a baseball game because it's not something you normally do. And yeah, you're not staying out there. The game's at 6. You're not getting there at noon and tailgating all day for a Royals game. A football game, it's a Sunday night game. You might be out there all afternoon and all evening.
I just felt like for a playoff game, you don't amp it up, change the math, add in an extra element. I'm surprised people don't, like, you know, go a little further out. Someone did mention the walking taco, an underrated mobile version of that where you just...
Walking tacos are great.
Yeah, that's a good point. The walking taco is a great tailgate food. Here's the thing. If someone's making tacos, there's no situation which I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'd like a taco right now. That's a food I will eat universally pretty much across the board. Someone says they do meatloaf for the Royals and fried chicken for the Chiefs. Meatloaf, huh? That's an interesting tailgate food. When was the last time you had
that's more exotic than tacos, I think.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I mean, I still think if you're doing burgers, though, or whatever, you have choices of cheese you can use, right?
Oh, really? Cheddar, mozzarella, Havarti, cream cheese, Colby Jack. Did I say Gruyere? Blue? Swiss. Who puts cream cheese on a burger?
I don't know, man.
Someone said they're doing New York strips.
Ah, damn.
Where's that tailgate at? Get another strip on there. I'll be swinging by at 4 o'clock.
I did say I'd like to stop by a tailgate. Please let me know if you've got one for Alex and I.
Those are KC strips, not New York strips. Thank you very much. KC strips.
Got to be very careful about your cut of meat today. You got to make sure that you get the right one if you're getting a strip steak.
Someone said chili for like cold Chiefs games.
Chiefs games, sure. But it's a baseball game tonight, and it's 70 degrees outside, 75 degrees outside.
Conceivably, the Royals make the World Series, and it's like 40 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. Are you eating a bowl of chili before?
I would.
I need a bowl of chili.
I also think you can just barbecue. You know, you can still just have
at that point, I think you turn more stuff on because it also keeps you warm. Bunch of grills going all at the same time. You're helping yourself out. Also, the last time the Royals played in the World Series, it wasn't 40 degrees outside. It was definitely colder, but it wasn't 40 degrees.
That is the random question of the day. Up next, let's talk a little bit more about the Chiefs and where things are considering their injury situation, and then the single biggest decision that allowed the Royals to get to this point. We'll take your calls and texts on that. 913-586-7965.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.